Hey, I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and you're listening to Reset, your guide to news and culture in Chicago and beyond. A lot of TV shows take place in Chicago. There's Chicago PD, Chicago Fire, The Chi, South Side. You get the gist. And if there's one thing that locals here love to do, it's spot the things a show gets right and wrong about our city, and spot those deep cuts a viewer anywhere else just can't appreciate. So if you're looking for a new Chicago show to binge, you might want to try The Bear on FX and Hulu. It's a dark comedy that follows Carmi, a fine dining chef who's come home to Chicago after a tragedy to run his family's Greasy Spoon sandwich shop. Of course, the difference in taste and rhythm leads to clashes with the restaurant staff.
Time to try the new sandwiches behind corner. Marcus Rolls, please, chef. Again. That's crumbly, it's too dense.
Put it by hand.
Yeah, it's the mixer.
It's not the mixer, all right? It's crumbly. The oven's too dry. You need to fill a baking sheet with water, put it on the oven floor, throw in another batch, okay?
Don't tell me how to do my
job.
Just
do it.
Yo! Somebody come try this, cousin!
Yeah, right! That was perfect.
There you go, chef. Chef. Come on. What do you think?
It's redundant and white, just like you.
Heard. Tina, salt, heat.
It's tender. It's nice. We happy.
The Bear actor Jeremy Allen White recently sat down with my colleague Natalie Moore to talk about what brought him to the role and his hopes for season two. Natalie is going to take it from here.
I know everyone is walking around calling you chef in public.
Yep, a lot of chef talk, yeah.
But can I call you cousin? Another name from the show, because it feels like you're an honorary Chicagoan. This is your second series in the city.
Yeah. You can call me cousin. You can call me whatever you like.
For sure. Okay, yeah. Cousin. What's your relationship like to Chicago?
I love Chicago. I mean, I've been coming here now for, my gosh, like
since 2011?
12 years, something like that. Yeah. We shot most of Shameless, actually, in Los Angeles, but we'd come here, like, for 2 weeks a season. I love it here. I love the people. I love the food, the culture, the camaraderie of the city, the pride. I love it here.
People say find someone who loves you the way Chicagoans love Chicago.
Yeah,
you might have witnessed that. So why not just move here?
Why not move here?
Or get
well,
a place.
As I mean, I love Chicago, but I grew up in New York, and I love New York, too.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. But Chicago loves you.
That's really nice. I love Chicago.
So what drew you to the character Carmi? He's really intense.
Yeah, I think my heart kind of broke for him right away when I read the script. He seemed really lonely, I think, because his identity is so wrapped up in being a chef and being so successful at that. And I think that allowed me to do something kind of interesting, or I thought it was interesting, where I could kind of play him with high stakes all the time, because I feel like because he's so wrapped up in the success of this restaurant, his success as a chef, everything kind of seems really life and death all the time for him. So, I think initially that's what kind of like grabbed me about him.
How did you nail the Chicago accent?
I don't know if I nailed the Chicago accent. I mean, we made a choice, Chris Storer, who's the creator of the show and a Chicagoan. We made the choice that we were going to have Richie kind of have, the thickest, almost like, I think he was like leaning into the accent even because he had such pride, of being a Chicagoan, you know, and I think Carmi is a little bit different. I think he's kind of been running away for a couple of years. So they didn't want Carmi to have as thick of an accent, but I did try to when Carmi and Richie were talking to one another, and especially when things got kind of heated, I wanted Carmi to kind of slip into that. Like, I don't know, I have a family in North Carolina, and whenever I go visit them, I kind of, you know,
It's just enough Chicago.
Right, good, okay.
I'm not sure if you're following the social media buzz around you, but you are seen as quite the heartthrob.
It's crazy, yeah. I don't follow it that closely. I don't have Twitter or anything like that.
Oh, you should see it.
Yeah. I've been made aware, though. We have like a group chat on the show, and I'm made aware of some stuff. And it's like it's very nice. It's kind of embarrassing, but it's certainly surprising because, you know, the show – there's no romance or sex or anything. So it's, I don't know, maybe there's some projecting going on.
There's something about the archetype in the kitchen that I've been reading about. That's not my world.
Right, right.
But apparently your karma is a thing.
I guess so. Yeah, yeah. I'll take it. Yeah.
You've talked about how you prep for the role, including working in restaurants in Chicago and New York. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So before the show, I was really useless in a kitchen. So my first job, kind of when I accepted the role, was to get to work. So I went to culinary school in Pasadena for a couple of weeks. I learned a lot there, the basics. And then I spent a lot of time at a restaurant called Pasjoli in Santa Monica with Chef Dave Baran, who's a really tremendous chef who actually was here in Chicago for a long time. He was chef at Alinea for a long time. So he was really generous with his time. I kind of did prep with them some days. I was kind of a fly on the wall sometimes, just really trying to watch like the movement and the choreography of a kitchen and try to figure that out, the communication aspect. And then I got shoved on the line. So at a certain point, I was actually preparing food that was being served to customers there, which was pretty wild.
You used the word ballet, which I think is a really good description, because what stands out in the show is a rapid fire dialogue, the rhythm and movement in the kitchen and the calling out. So let's listen to a bit of the show that I think shows that really well.
Sure.
Tina.
Cardamom.
Ibrahim.
What is beef?
It's in the oven. Tina, can you start a new jardiniere for me, please, chef?
I need my fennel first, Jeff.
Cardamom.
Ibrahim.
I need my beef. Then I do onions. Then I do potatoes. We have system.
All right, but you could punch him, blanch him, freeze him, fry him before the beef, right?
Don't mess up our place.
I'm not messing anything up. Chef, no, please do not touch that. This is the one time you listen to me. Please do not touch that. That's been going for 12 hours, okay?
That's my pot, Jeff. Everybody knows.
That's her pot.
All right, use another pot, please, chef, all right?
Corner.
You said in an interview that early on you decided you need to learn the stuff you can fake. Hmm. What could you fake? And what couldn't you fake?
I think like what we were talking about before, kind of the movement of the kitchen and the physicality of the cooks and chefs that I spent time with, you know, that they're always kind of like, they're always hunched over because they're always over a counter. And you know, I think in Carmi's case, he feels like he has the weight of the world on his shoulders all the time. But I saw like a similar physicality with all chefs that I spent time with. So I thought that like that was something I could fake and I could kind of just learn by watching. But then the stuff I couldn't fake was the stuff like all the knife work, which really just took repetition, just a lot of hours. I had a little station set up for myself while we were shooting the pilot in my hotel room. I brought my knives with me, and every night before bed, I spent like 30 minutes to an hour just cutting, you know, that's just time.
And given that, have your cooking skills got better?
They've definitely gotten better. I mean, I've gone from useless to mediocre. I can do a lot, but I still need kind of like a cookbook. I think the sign of a really great chef is they can walk into your apartment or your house and they can, you know, open the fridge and make you something really delicious, no matter what's in there. I'm not there.
Will you be eating Italian beef while you're in town, and where?
I already have. Yeah, I've been here for just over 36 hours, and I think I've had two Italian beef sandwiches. And they've all been from Mr. Beef, where we shoot all the exteriors of the show. Yeah.
And where else have you eaten? You said you like the food in Chicago. Where do you like to go?
I really like this Italian restaurant, La Scarola. It's by one of my favorite bars, Richard's Bar here. And it was a real treat. Like when I was here shooting The Bear, production would send me out to these dinners, you know, as research. But it was really just a treat for me because I got to go eat at these places like Smith, Oriole. I worked at Kumiko for a while with Chef Emery, The Loyalist. So I got to go to some really serious restaurants and had some pretty incredible experiences there.
Well, hopefully they will take you to some spots in neighborhoods so you can get things like fried chicken and barbecue, Chicago style.
Yeah.
Jeremy, like Shameless, The Bear deals with complicated sibling relationships and addiction.
Yeah.
Do you think Shameless prepped you for this role in any way?
I think in a sense, like I think it was so nice to kind of be on Shameless for as long as I was, because I think I learned so much. I learned so much from the other actors that I worked with. It was really like It was like a boot camp or a gym. Like, I got to do so much because we shot for so long. And I got to grow with the character of Lip, which is something that, you know, not a lot of actors get to experience playing one character for that long. I don't know if it necessarily prepared me specifically for Carmi, but I think what struck me about the script upon reading it was just how sort of like human it felt. And I think Shameless felt human in a similar way where, you know, right now I feel like there's so much television film that's sort of like overrun by all these franchises, which are all like really exciting and fun, and you're in space or it's sci-fi or it's horror or it's superheroes, and it's all really exciting. But I was really excited about making another show that's like simple in a way, but also the most complicated, which is just about people trying and trying to change, you know.
If I'm not mistaken, you got Shameless right out of high school.
That's right.
And so you did it for 11 seasons. Mm-hmm. And in another interview, you said that you were on Shameless so long that you kind of stopped feeling like an actor.
Yeah.
And that maybe you just existed on the show.
Sure.
And I think we can all relate to that level of autopilot in any kind of job that we do. So what did you learn about your craft and how to keep things fresh?
Yeah, it was hard at times, you know. I think there were certain seasons that it was really my attitude. It wasn't necessarily about like the work or the show. But I just wasn't showing up some years, I feel like. I think like I'm so grateful, obviously, for the show and for Shameless. But at the same time, you know, I don't know. It's like I said before, I don't know if shows are supposed to go that long. And there's like a fear of kind of like recycling stories and stuff like that. And I think in just like reading something like The Bear, even though it's like about family dysfunction and it takes place in the city of Chicago, it all felt so new and exciting to me in some way. And I think that was inspiring. You know?
It's definitely different. And yeah. The Bear is the breakout show this summer. Why do you think the audience is drawn to it?
I mean, I don't know exactly what it is that makes a show really break through. Like, there's so much great stuff out there. But I think it has something to do with how humid it is. And then the world of kitchens and the world of fine dining, I think, is really fascinating to a lot of people. And I think so many people have been through dining, whether it be as a server or a manager or a host or a hostess or a barista or whatever it is. I think, like, you'd be shocked at how many people have come through that space in some way. So I think there is kind of like a connection that a lot of people have to this kind of story, you know.
We are in this golden age of television, and there's so much good TV that's out there. What are you watching?
Oh, man, I'm so boring. I have a 3 and a 1-year-old at home. And
I get it.
When they go to bed, I'm just like, I don't want to think anymore. So we have Bravo on a lot at our house in the evening time. Yeah.
Yeah. When I was binge watching, my 6-year-old was there in the F word. I was like, oh, I'm a terrible mom.
Oh, no.
She's like, I heard
Please.
It at camp.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So you're watching a lot of Peppa Pig with your kids, I imagine.
I'm watching Peppa Pig and Cocomelon during the day, and at night the Real Housewives come on, and that's mostly what we watch.
This show has been picked up for a second season, and I know people are, you know, projecting that they think Carmi and Sydney should get together, mm-hmm. and you have shut that down. But what do you hope to see? I mean, I hope to see more Mikey flashbacks. Mm-hmm. I wonder if Carmi will get therapy versus his mom.
Sure.
Can he get some romance?
I don't know. Like, there's something I really liked that the show, at least in the first season, didn't have any kind of romance, that it was so sort of like focused. I don't know, like, maybe something will happen in the second season. Hopefully not with Sydney. For Sydney's sake, like, I don't know. I find their relationship so interesting as is. And I think there's, like, a lot of places that we can go, none of them being in a romantic direction. So I hope nothing happens there. And in regards to Michael, I mean, I'd love, like, John Bernthal is such a wonderful actor. I think it would be interesting to do more like flashback stuff, but I don't know. We have to see if John would be down, and we have to see if that's going to fit into the story for the second season.
You know that story he told about the bar series? I'm sure people told you that that's for real.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah, yeah.
You know, our police chief got fired for bringing his mistress there and drinking too much.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. Wow.
So I think that was the most Chicago moment
yeah.
in the show.
Well, it's real. You know, Chris Storer, the creator of the show, is from here. Courtney Storer, who's a wonderful chef, his sister, also from here. So we had the real deal with us. Yeah.
And I know that you said you're not on Twitter, but before I saw it, people kept talking about episode 7 and how it stressed them out. And I was like, oh, my gosh, do I want to watch this? I need happy 20 minutes, fast pace.
Yeah.
Was that, people are saying online that that was done in one take. Is that true?
Yeah, yeah, true. Yeah.
That scene was, well, that whole episode was so fast and so intense. What was it like shooting that? And talk a little bit about what's happening, because it's not really spoilers.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I had such a blast shooting that episode. We shot in one take. We rehearsed it for a couple days prior with our wonderful camera operator, Gary, and kind of found like the movement of it all. And yeah, the episode is, you know, a review comes in for the restaurant. That's kind of the first thing that happens.
That's glowing, by the way.
It's really glowing, but it specifies Chef Sydney as the chef. So Carmi's coming into the show with his ego a bit bruised, but he's kind of shrugging it off. And then Chef Sydney makes a mistake. She leaves the to-go tablet on. It's the first day that they're thinking about doing to-goes. She leaves it on all morning, so when the orders come in, the restaurant gets incredibly overwhelmed, and Carmi kind of uses that screw up as permission to start tearing the restaurant apart a little bit. But I had such a blast because, like, as an actor, I think, you know, the most fun part of the job is really trying to kind of like get a little bit lost in between action and cut. And when you have 20 minutes between action and cut, it just gives you a lot of time. And you're really relying on the rest of the cast, and they rely on you in a way that's, I don't know, really, really exciting.
Yeah. Listen, I needed Marcus to read the room about those donuts, though.
We gave him so many warnings, you know what I mean? Sid did, Carmi did. But man, what a sweetheart. Lionel is like, he's so good, and he's really like, he's like that in real life. He's just he's a really sweet soul. And that shines through so much in Marcus. Yeah.
And there are a lot of Chicago actors. The actor who plays Ibram, I've seen him in theater.
Yeah, yeah, here. He did a lot of theater here. So Chris, Storer, the creator of the show, saw Edwin, who plays Ibrahim, in a play when Chris was like in his early 20s. And he said one day, this is before he'd ever done anything, he said one day I'm going to cast him in something. And he did. He remembered him from 15 years ago. And yeah, Edwin's remarkable on the show.
It's always great to see local, particularly theater actors,
totally.
Get this kind of prestige work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although theater's prestige too, but
yeah.
A little bigger audience.
Sure,
in check.
Bigger audience, of course. Yeah.
I'm not going to nitpick you on Chicago things because I think that there are multiple Chicago stories to tell. So I appreciate that this isn't a particular community. A particular, you know, ethnic means white in Chicago, and it's showing that, and I think that's great. However, I'm going to give you a list of Southside fine dining and takeout restaurants, so when
great.
You come back to Chicago, you can see a little bit more of the city.
Please, yeah, I'd love that.
And before we go, you've had Italian beef 3 times. How do you order it?
Hot peppers and wet, just like totally dipped. Yeah.
Ketchup on hot dog?
No.
That's the right answer.
Yeah, good. I pass.
That's actor Jeremy Allen White. You can watch all 8 episodes of FX's new show, The Bear, now on Hulu. Jeremy, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, I'm back. That's it for today's Reset. For more conversations about the arts, pop culture, and food, make sure you're subscribed to this podcast. And give us a rating and review. It really helps other people find us. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again tomorrow.